John chapter number 6 this morning. Grab your Bible, John chapter number 6. We'll look at some verses together. You guys excited about Thanksgiving? Did you guys get your note that went home, said you get off on Wednesday? Were you happy? How come none of you said thank you? Because you don't care, you know. What we got to take off the rest of the week too? Is that what I get? Marcus finally woke up. Tell you what. What do you guys think of Daniel's little jacket there? He has to tell everybody he's a hero. Is that a brand name? You look like a hero. All right, sounds good. All right, well, let's pray and we'll get started this morning. Father in heaven, thank you again for your word. Would you guys please speak to us in a real way? Help the young people today, Lord, to take what we learned from chapel and apply to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 6 is kind of interesting. In the beginning of the chapters, verses 1 through 14, you're going to have Jesus feeding the 5,000. Wouldn't it have been neat to be there when Jesus Christ starts popping out these bread and fishes and they all just keep reproducing and then, of course, to be filled? After verses 1 through 14, Jesus is there with all these people and these people want to make him a king. Obviously, if you had somebody that could feed you for a lifetime and it wasn't going to cost you anything, I think you'd want that for a king. That's what socialism is, by the way, where government takes care of people. But you are basically, you lose your freedom and the government tells you what to do, all right? And I don't know about you, but you don't want to live that way. And by the way, that's the society you're living in right now, all righty? The government is giving away so much money right now, it is ridiculous, all right? And one of these days it will explode because you can't just keep giving away what you don't have. You know, it's crazy. The United States of America gives money off of borrowed money from foreign countries. In other words, in order for us to give money away, we're borrowing from other people and then we're giving that money away to other people. It just does not make sense. But that's socialism. But that's what these people were. Hey, this guy can feed us. It's not going to cost us a dime. All right. So they're following Jesus. And so Jesus leaves them and he walks on the water. They didn't see him leave because he came by boat. So Jesus found his own way back and he just walked on water. So verses number 15, I think down to verse number 13. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Can't go backwards. Verse number 15 down to verse 21. You have Jesus walking on the water. And of course, the story of Peter there is not in this passage, but again, during this time. Look at verse 22, though, with me, and it says, "The day following," John chapter 6, verse 22, "the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks." All right, so in other words, the place where he had multiplied the bread and feeding the 5,000. Verse 24, "When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus." All right, so the rest of this chapter, and it's a long chapter, I mean, 71 verses. The rest of this chapter, these people are coming along and saying, "Hey, listen, Jesus, we're looking for you. You just got done feeding us, and now all of a sudden you disappear." All right? So Jesus gives this exhortation of how he's the bread of life. In other words, that they need to believe on him. They could not comprehend what Jesus was trying to say. They thought, "We got to eat your flesh. We got to drink your blood." They weren't cannibals, all right? So they could not comprehend what Jesus was trying to teach them. What Jesus was trying to teach them, it was not them eating him. It was believing on him, all right? Are you with me so far? Say amen. All two of you, all right? Let me go a little farther here. Stay with me now. Look at your Bible now. Look at verse number 60. Verse 60 says, "Many therefore of his disciples," after he gives this exhortation or teaching, he says, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying, who can hear it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured it, he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Verse 67, I want you to read out loud with me. Verse 67, you ready? "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" All right, say it again. Go ahead and read it. All right, I want to talk to you for just a few moments on that thought on will you also go away. I want you to notice that Jesus was not talking to the multitude. Jesus was not talking to people who were unbelievers. Jesus was talking to the 12. The 12 disciples were a picture of believers. And you know what he said? He says, "Will you also go away?" The ones that had left him were also not unbelievers. They were also called disciples. What's a disciple? A person who's a learner, a student, a pupil. Somebody who wanted to know more about Christ. They left him. All right, and they left him for certain reasons, and we'll look at that this morning. But I'm just want to ask you the same question this morning. Will ye also go away? In other words, you've been raised in a Christian home. When that time comes that you get to that age, are you just going to walk away from it all? Hey, by the way, it happens, and you know it happens. There have been people who've been raised in a Christian school all of their life. They've heard preaching all of their life, and all of a sudden when they get to that age of 18, 19, 20 years old, they decide to themselves, hell, freedom. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to live the way I want. You can do whatever. You can do that, all right? But the 12 that follow Jesus Christ are the 12 that are going to be during the millennium. They're going to be reigning with Christ. The 12 that continue to follow Christ were ones that were Jesus kind of held out to the crowd and exalted them, used them greatly. Can I tell you, there's always a benefit to those who stay faithful, and there's always a detriment to those who go wild. In other words, they give up. Well, you know, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I don't want this, and I don't want that. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Are you saved? If you're saved, say amen. All right, so if you're saved, that means you don't belong to yourself. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He says, ye are not your own. You've been bought with a price. We're not our own. So when it comes to this idea of, I'm going to serve God if I want to, you're supposed to serve God because he wants you to. It's real simple. So when Jesus turned and looked at the disciples, he said, will ye also go away? In other words, there are others who have given up and quit. Young people, can I just tell you that the people who have quit that seem like they're having a good time are only telling you what they want to tell you. The perception of, well, man, they don't have to always go to church. And the perception of they've got money, or the perception of they get to go have fun, or the perception of they get to do things I never get to do. That all that is a perception. That is not reality. Reality is that there is we have to answer to God Almighty, and there's a chastening hand of God, and people are not always as happy as you think they are just because they grew up in church and they're not in church today. So I'm thankful for Proverbs 24:16, that a just man can fall down and can get back up. But can I just tell you, you don't have to fall down. You don't have to give up. You don't have to quit. You don't have to walk away. You should be like the 12 and say, listen, we're not going anywhere. Look at the next verse in John chapter 6, verse number 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. All right. Now, young people, I know that this morning you might be thinking to yourself, this is not super applicable because I still live at home. This is not super applicable because I'm in elementary school, okay? But I'm trying to tell you that one of these days, somebody's not going to be telling you what to do. You know, the college students are here, and they, more than you, chose to be here. In fact, they pay to be here. I like that even better. They choose to be here. And you know, I'm going to tell you something, high school, especially you guys that are almost to that age, you are almost to that age in your life where you are going to get to choose. Right now, your mom and dad chose for you to come to this Christian school. Whether you like school or not, or dislike it, whether you like school or not, you're coming to this Christian school because your mom and dad put you here. But what's going to happen, the day's going to come, you're going to be able to make choices on your own. Three of mine are to the place now where they make choices on their own. Sharon, she's gone. She married, has two kids. I have zero responsibility and zero obligation and zero authority in her life, okay? I'm dad now, but I'm dad at a distance. And I'm fine with that, to be honest with you, because that's the way God set it up. When you get married, a person is supposed to leave their, four times in Scripture, supposed to leave their father and mother and cleave to their wife, the person they marry. There's supposed to be a separation, okay? I don't want Sharon to get married and come back and live with me. Okay, are you all with me this morning? Wake up. Do you understand that you're going to get to that place? Seth is to that place. Now, Seth is living in my home. He don't necessarily like the rules, I'm sure, but Seth is living in our home. But Seth is to that place where he's already been out of the house, come back, and he's about to leave the house again. Okay, he's going to go to college again. But Seth is to that place, and Seth has a lot of liberty in his life because he's at that age of breaking the ties, but he's making decisions on his own. Samuel, I have no idea what he's doing. He's probably in a bar this morning. Who knows? All right, but Samuel's not here. No? All right, so Samuel, hopefully he's in school somewhere, right? So Samuel is not, can I just tell you, you're not far from that. And you're going to be making your own decisions. And what Jesus asked his disciples, I feel like is a question that you better be thinking of right now. Will ye also go away? Are you just going to quit on this whole thing? Are you going to just say, hey, listen, it's not worth it. I don't want it. Okay, can I just tell you from this passage here, there's a reason this big group of disciples left. Not the 12, but there's a reason they left. All right, let me quickly point them out to you quickly. Look at your Bible, look back in verse 26. We did not read the whole chapter this morning. We're not going to. But I want you to notice just a couple things here. Why did that large group go away? All right, not the disciples, the 12, but why did this other large group go away? Look at verse 26. It says, Jesus answered them. By the way, this is the multitude that was looking for Jesus. Verse 26, it says, and Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because why? Y'all see that? So why did they go away? Raise your hand. Somebody raise your hand and tell me. Why did these guys go away? Yes. They like food. They like food. How many of you like food? I like food. You guys didn't, you don't, some of you, as big as some of you are, you, I can tell you like food, all right? We like food, all right? I could go for a snack right now. How about you?
Yes.
I'd go for a snack. I'm not sure what I want to eat. It's 9 o'clock. It sounds good right now. This morning I had me a sausage, egg, cheese McMuffin. Whenever I eat a sausage, egg, cheese McMuffin, I open the package. I take the top muffin off. I take me a napkin and wipe away all the grease because it's a little greasy, the sausages. I get rid of the grease. Then I eat the bottom half first. I'm not a big bread eater, but I eat the bottom half first. But when I do have a sausage, egg, cheese McMuffin, I take the top half and then I take grape jelly and I smother it in grape jelly. And then I eat the top half by itself. It's like having two meals. It really is, all right? And then I had my sweet tea this morning. So I had a really good breakfast this morning, okay? And I can still eat again. I like food, all right? Now, can I just tell you that I like food to a fault. I like ice cream. I like chocolate. I like gummy bears. Actually, I like gummy worms. And then I like gummy bears, all right? And I'm just telling you, the grape gummy bear is the best gummy bear there is. And Albanese, that's the best gummies that there are. There is not a better gummy than that one, all right? I'm just telling you, it's just good. I mean, it's just good. I like vanilla shakes. I like them thick. I like them, when I order a vanilla shake, I don't want a milkshake. I want a shake. I want a thick shake. I like them. I like vanilla. I know you guys like all the different flavors, but I like vanilla. I like whipped cream on the top, and I like a cherry on the top of that, all righty? I like taking a spoon when I eat my vanilla shake, and I like taking the whipped cream and dipping it into the shake and just eating those two things together. They taste delicious. I mean, I'm just telling you. When it's not sugar, I like food. I like hamburgers. I like the kind of hamburger that when you squeeze, the grease comes out the sides. All right? I like hamburgers. I like French fries. The only time the best French fries are when they first come out of the fryer and grease is dripping off of them from McDonald's, and there's plenty of salt on them. All right? That's a good French fry. All right, I like French fries. If it's my second best French fries is going to Freddy's, and I like their fry sauce. Anybody hungry yet? I mean, I like those fries when they're hot, and you dip them into that fry sauce, and you eat them like that. I mean, it's just good. I mean, it's just good. If I was going to go to Arby's today, I would go and get me that roast beef sandwich that they have the onion rings on top of, and it's got the barbecue sauce that comes off the top. It's called a smokehouse barbecue sandwich. And I like it, and I like cutting that thing in half. I take the top bun off. I'm not a big bread eater. I take the top bun off, and I eat I'll fold it in half if I have to, but I like the meat, all right? I mean, I just like food. I mean, I like food in general. My kids are not big Kentucky Fried Chicken ones, but I like the white meat better than dark meat. How many white meat chicken lovers do we have in here? And I'm just telling you, I like food, and I like to get me when I go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, I like that number one. You get the breast, the big, large breast, and I always eat the skin first because the skin is what tastes the best. Kentucky Fried Chicken, how many like the Kentucky Fried Chicken skin? Anybody skinners? Oh, man, I'm just telling you, they're good. Good. So what do they call it? Finger licking good, all righty? And at Kentucky Fried Chicken, I like the coleslaw. I know that you're probably not a salad eater, but I like the coleslaw there. There's just a taste to that Kentucky, and there's not any really other coleslaw anywhere else that I like except for Kentucky Fried Chicken. I mean, it's just good. It's just good. If I was to go to Culver's, I kind of mix up. I like the double burger deluxe. What is it called? Culver's deluxe? The double? I like that. That one's pretty good. My second favorite there is probably the sourdough melt. Double the hamburger. It's got the cheese and the onions that come across it. I mean, I like to eat. Eating is just kind of a fault for me, all right? But can I just tell you, the reason I like to eat is because my flesh likes to eat. The reason you like to eat is because your flesh liked to eat. You know why they wanted manna? They wanted manna Because it was a fleshly gratification in their life. It's something that they physically wanted. Can I tell you why people go away? Because you want to live for your flesh instead of living for God. I can't believe I can get up in the morning and read my Bible. What's the problem? Because your flesh likes to sleep. And because your flesh likes to sleep, you give up on the things that are spiritual because your flesh wants to do things that are wrong, all right? Is it wrong to sleep? Yes or no?
No.
Is it wrong to eat? Yes or no? Okay, but you can get an overabundance of fleshly gratification, and then that's where it becomes wrong. All right? My family's heavy, always has been heavy. I could probably be 400 pounds easy. Easy. Because it's a constant battle as far as our flesh. All right? I don't like to exercise. The only reason I try to exercise is because I don't want to be 400 pounds. Because my flesh likes to still eat. All right? I mean, these guys that have such great self-control and they just go without meals, that's not me. All right, there's times that we fast and there's times that we want to go without food, but I'm just trying to tell you that the reason these guys were looking for the manna and the reason they went away is because what they want, what their flesh wanted, they didn't get. Can I tell you why there's a bunch of young people that grow up in Christian homes and when they finally get their freedom, they walk away from it all. And the reason they walk away from it all is because for all this time, they've had a mother and father that says, you are going to get up, you are going to go to church, you are going to go on soul winning, you are going to be on a bus route, you are going to. And then all of a sudden they get to that age where, hey, I can do what my flesh wants. My flesh doesn't want to go to church. My flesh doesn't want to give. My flesh doesn't want to go soul winning. And so what happened is these guys walked away because simply they wanted to do what their flesh wanted. Will you also go away? I want to tell you what will cause you to go away is when you decide that you're going to do what you want instead of what God wants when it comes to our flesh. Look at something else here. Not only do I see that it was because of their flesh, but look at verse number 41. Verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. All right, and look at verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now, I don't know about you, but if the guy who just got done feeding you, now they looked at him as a man, but if the person who just got done feeding you manna fed the 5,000 till they were filled, plus women and children, this miracle takes place and they were eating of that, and all of a sudden they find him because they want more welfare, they wanted to be fed again, and he stops them saying, listen, the only reason you're seeking me is because I gave you manna to eat. He says, what you really need to eat is my flesh. What you really need to drink is my blood. You ever drink blood before? Good. We're not supposed to do that. Don't do that, okay? Hey, can I just tell you, they did not understand what Jesus was talking about. And can I tell you, will you also go away? The reason these guys went away was, first of all, because they were looking for fleshly gratification. But second of all, is they were just simply ignorant. They did not understand what Jesus was really talking about. He was not talking about eat me. He was talking about believe me. All right? Young people, I want to tell you what will cause you to go away is when you never get to a place where you understand. You're ignorant. Because you're not getting to a place where you understand that God has a will for your life and what he's trying to do in your life. When you look at the Christian life as all about rules and regulations and you don't look at it truthfully, that the Christian life is not rules and regulations, it's about having God's will complete in your life. If you don't do the rules, you will never complete God's will for your life. What is God's will for your life? I don't know what God's will is for your life. Now, I know what his general will is. I know what you're supposed to be doing now. You're supposed to be in chapel right now. You're supposed to go to school today. I know what God's... I can tell you what God's general will. I can't tell you what his specific will is for your life. Who you're supposed to marry. Where you're supposed to go to college. What church you're supposed to be involved in, what ministry you're supposed to do. I don't know what those answers are. I do know that if you do God's general will, you'll find out what God's specific will is. But can I just tell you that you don't know yet. I would not give up on God just because you haven't figured everything out yet. I don't understand what you mean by eat my flesh and drink my blood, but they still knew that he had performed a miracle and they still knew that he was somewhat God in their sense of imagination with the Jews. The Jews had to know there's something different about this fellow. Why did the 12 keep following Jesus Christ? At the end of the chapter, he says, hey, listen, we know you're the living God. I don't have to understand everything now. I just need to follow him. Some of you are going to miss out on the blessings of life simply because I want to feed my flesh I don't see how this fits together. And since I don't see how this all fits together, can I just tell you, if you stay in it long enough, you'll figure it all out. God will show you in time. Not only ignorance, look at something else. Look at verse number 64 with me. Verse 64. Verse 64 says this, but there are some of you that, what's the next two words?
Believe not.
Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. You know, I think that there's some reason, I think some of the reason we have young people that go away, and we're going to know when we get to heaven, is because they really weren't saved to begin with. Hey, think about this. 12 disciples, Jesus chose all 12 of them. Did Jesus know that Judas was lost?
Yes.
Did Jesus already know before he chose Judas that he'd be the one to betray him?
Yes.
Yes. You know, I can't tell you for sure that you're saved. Now, I feel like that our spirit bears witness. I think there's some people that you can tell that they're saved. I'm kind of careful about telling people that they are saved. But I've had people come to my office before again and again. I just don't know if I'm saved. Have you prayed? Have you trusted Christ? Do you believe Jesus Christ? Yes, 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 yes. Then I said, then take God at his word. One person came to my office one time and kept coming to me about, I just don't know if I'm saved. I'm kind of down. I just finally said, you know, I can't tell you that you're saved, but I think you're saved. There's things you can do. There's five evidences of salvation. I went through the five evidences with him. He had all five evidences in his life. I don't know why he kept doubting it. But I want to tell you something. I think there's a reason. The reason a lot of people, a bunch of people, they're raised in Christian homes. They've been taught all their life what's right. And they walk away from it all is because they never really believed in their heart. They've never put their faith in Christ in the sense of for salvation. I'm just trying to remind you this morning, do you know that you're saved? Because I want to tell you what's going to keep you down the right path is knowing why you're on the path. Why are you on the path? Because I'm a believer. I know that Christ died for me. Will you also go away? Look at verse number 60. I'm going to show you one more here this morning. Verse number 60 says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? Now remember, this is the multitude, not the 12. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples, that part of the multitude, murmured at it, he said unto them, what did he say? What's the question? Does this offend you? Hey, listen to me. I want to tell you something, young people. You hear me say it, and maybe it irks you. And the reason it irks you is because you know because it's true. Christianity, I think a lot of times, especially young people, because you've been given so much. Listen to me. Hear me out. Because you've given so much, you're a baby. If things don't go your way, you get offended. Oh, you can't tell me what to do. Can I just tell you that offenses are going to come, and it's not always going to be with the authorities in your life. It's going to be with another kid. It's going to be with a teacher. It's going to be with your parent. Offenses are going to come. Do you know why these guys didn't keep following? Jesus said, you offended? The word offended means trip up. You offended? Will you also go away? Listen to me, young people. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I am sick and tired of hearing this. Well, the reason I'm not in church today is because my parents weren't good tonight. The reason I'm not in church today is because the pastor messed up. Can I just tell you something? You're not in church one day down the road. It's because of your own fleshly gratification. It's because your ignorance of what God really wanted in your life. It's maybe because of your unbelief, because you're not saved. And it might be because you're offended over something stupid. Will you also go away? Hey, grow up and get some grit. Everybody's not going to tell you what you want to hear. You're not a lost person. You're a saved person. Act like a saved person. Offenses are going to come. Hey, listen, I love our staff, but can I tell you something? Sometimes they can be offensive. I know it's hard to believe. Sometimes they say things, and I think to myself, scratch my head, why did you say that? They do things, and I think, well, I wouldn't do it that way. You know why people cause offense? It's because they're sinful. We have flesh. There are no perfect teachers. By the way, there's no perfect parents, by the way. There are no perfect classmates. Have you guys figured that one out? I know, you guys thought you were just a perfect clan. That's why Daniel says hero. He's perfect hero. Will you also go away? I know right now you can't really go anywhere. But it's not long. You're going to have a choice. You need to determine, hey, listen, I'm a disciple of Christ. There are two things that kept the 12 to stay put. And then those two verses, let me just point them out to you real quickly here. John chapter 6, look at the bottom of the chapter there. Jesus said in John 6, verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the, what's the word? What's the word? That was funny. Okay. Thou hast the words of eternal life. All right, so our Bible is made up of words, and those words represent who? Jesus Christ, because of John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word. Okay, so they had the living Word, which was Jesus Christ. You have the written Word, which is Jesus Christ. Are we together so far? So what caused these 12, when Jesus answered them, will ye also go away? What caused them to say, we're not going anywhere because thou hast the words. Hey, young people, can I tell you what's going to keep you from going away? The book you hold in your hand. But they're just words. No, it's Jesus Christ. Am I right? Oh, but I don't want to. Okay, fleshly gratification. I don't quite understand that ignorance. I'm upset with them. Okay, you're offended. Can I tell you the only thing that's going to keep you down the right path is those words? Now, don't raise your hand this morning, but how many of you got up this morning and read your Bible? Oh, I'm going to get that at school. You're going to go over your scripture memory. I'm going to have chapel. I'm going to get so much Bible. Young people, you cannot get so much. There's no way to get too much Bible. Hey, can I ask you a question? If Jesus Christ was standing here right now, the Son of God, the person who saved your soul, would you not want to spend every second of the day with him? Okay, well, you got a Bible in your hand, but you didn't even open it this morning. It's no wonder people give up on God. It's no wonder they go out to the world. It's no wonder they do their own thing. Will you also go away? The only thing that's going to keep you from going away is stay in the book. Look at the next thing. Last thing. Verse 68, Peter's answer to the question, will ye also go away? Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And, verse 69, and we, what's the word? Believe and are assured thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. The two things that's going to keep a person from going away is that book and your faith. We believe. We believe what? We believe Jesus Christ. We believe that thou art the Christ. In other words, our salvation. You know, I don't know when you got saved, but I don't want to forget the day I got saved. I was 11 years old, sitting in the fourth row back. Preacher was preaching on hell, scared me half to death. I came forward, showed me that I was a sinner bound for hell, needing a Savior, except Christ my Savior. I don't want to forget that. When were you saved? So what you should have done when you got up this morning, which is to me is part of the model prayer, but when you got up this morning, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for getting me up this morning. Thanks for being my Father. Thanks for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy to me. Thanks for your mercy on you every morning that you're not giving me what I deserve. You should remember when you got saved. And people, the only thing that's going to keep you from going away is your salvation and sanctification. We believe salvation. Sanctification, his words. That's the only thing that's going to keep you from throwing the towel in, from giving up. Last night we were playing Frisbee. What's it called? Ultimate Frisbee. And our team, we get beat 4 times in a row. After the second game, they said, do you want to pick up new teams? I wasn't the captain. I probably should have just let the captain decide. But no, we lost. Why would we not play again? I'm just built that way. We lost the third game. Hey, let's pick up new teams. No, we got this. It's starting to come together. We can do this. We can beat these guys. This is ridiculous. They shouldn't have won. We lost the fourth game. You know, there's just something inside of me. I'm not quitting. My kids, Dad, we ought to just pick up new teams. But why pick up new teams? We lost. That's what you want. You always want to be the underdog because then when you win, it's worth something. Simon last night had an unbelievable game. You know, he gave new meaning to Spider-Man. He was jumping all over the place. his last play, you know, it was kind of unbelievable. He catches the frisbee in midair and throws it in midair, and they score a touchdown with the frisbee in midair. Now, what kind of real person does that? He said he was sore this morning. I was so glad he was sore this morning. He deserves to be sore. I hope he's sore for the next 10 days. I hope every time he moves, he thinks about how he won. Can I just tell you, the Christian life is like this. It's the same thing. You're in a battle. It's not a game, but you're in a battle. You're a soldier of Jesus Christ. Will you also go away? You're going to quit? I know right now, Pastor, I can't quit, but the choice is coming. Daniel and Silas, both seniors, a choice is closest for them. Juniors, Caleb? Caleb's not a senior. Oh, Gabriel's a senior. You're a senior?
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's three of them.
Three of them. The choice is coming quickly. It's coming quickly. I know I'm a little bit different, but I feel like that when my kids get to that age, they have to make the choice for themselves. I'm not going to make them. Now, I'm going to make them as long as they're living in my house, but I'm not going to make them make the choice. Young people, you guys are not far from that. Will you also go away? I'll tell you why they went away. You got any more bread? I'm going to tell you why they went away. Eat your flesh and drink your blood. What? I'm going to tell you why they went away. Can't believe he said that. I'm offended. The only thing that's going to keep you from going away, remember your faith in Christ and remember his words. You get a hold of those two things, it won't be a question. I can't wait till I graduate. I'm freedom. Freedom happened the day you got saved, by the way. I'm free. I don't have to go to hell. Will you also go away? Young people, I know I'm kind of targeted more the older kids, all of us this morning. We need to say, hey, listen, I'm not leaving my faith. I'm not leaving Christ. I'm leaving what I've been raised in as far as what's truth, regardless of what happens in my life.